I can't imagine. I cannot imagine going through this life without Christ. I just can't. There was a time I never even thought anything about it. But now when I see that manna that God provided Israel to feed them while they were in the wilderness, to feed them on their pilgrimage journey, and it was every day He provided for them, every single day. Every morning they got up. It's fresh. Every day they got up. They had it. And every day that we get up, every day that our eyes are open, Christ is our provision for that day.
Amen.
He's our provision for that day to get us through this wilderness, get us through this pilgrimage until we one day enter into that blessed inheritance. They just had an earthly inheritance. We've got an eternal inheritance reserved for us in heaven. And I tell you what, and I'm going to tell you something. They had plenty to eat. But they didn't have nothing to eat compared to what we have to eat. You know, how much do we have? They just had manna. We've got Christ. We've got all that He is. We've got all that He did. We've got all that where He is now. We've got Him. Not just to live on, but He Himself is our provision. He Himself is our protection. He Himself is our guide. He Himself is behind us. He Himself is around us. And oh, He's plenty. I tell you what, no wonder Todd preached in our conference this last year. He said, Christ is all. And He is all. He is all. Our Lord Jesus talked about the Pharisees and the Sadducees taking the keys and not using the keys. Didn't know what the keys was. You know, if you got a roll of keys and they won't unlock any doors, you don't need them. Well, those folks didn't need a key. But God gave us the key. Christ is the key to the Scriptures. Keys over the door. And oh my. And now our Lord Jesus is crowned with glory and honor. And that's where we have all that we need in our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to keep this and look with me over in Genesis 41. Genesis 41. My heart is heavy for Bob and Rebecca and his two children and grandchildren. And it really is. I've known him for so long and loved him so much. And he's such a gracious, gracious man. But look here in verse 53. Genesis 41, 53. Now this is, you know, this is the story of Joseph. And he told him about that there's going to be 7 years of plenty and there's going to be 7 years of famine. And it said in verse 53, and after the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth, or the famine, began to come, according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all lands, everywhere, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. Now watch this. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, hungry, starving, the people cried to Pharaoh, "Oh, Pharaoh, we got to eat. Where are we going to get any bread?" Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, "I'll tell you where to go." There's only one person you can go to. Go to Joseph. You want anything from me? You want anything to eat? Go to Joseph. You want bread? Go to Joseph. And what he said to you, that's what you do. And that's the way it is. You want bread? You want something from God? You want provision from God? Go to Christ. Go to Christ. Oh my. And I tell you, and our God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, God spoke of His blessed Son. If you want anything from me, go to my beloved Son. Only from Him, through Him, and because of Him will I receive anything from you. And you'll get anything from me only because of Him. Oh, He's God's manna. He's God's manna. He's God's life. He's our life. He's all that we need. Don't need anything else. Don't need anything else. Don't want anything else. He's sufficient for me. He's sufficient for me. Now I want you to look here the next thing about the golden pot. And then the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about wherein was the golden pot that had manna in. And like I said, that manna, when they took that manna and they picked that manna up, they had enough just for that day. If they kept any over, it bred worms and it began to stink. And on Friday night, they'd pick up two enough for the Sabbath day. Get two portions. Well, I tell you what, God put this manna in that golden pot. And it never rotted. It didn't stink. And our Lord Jesus Christ, bless His holy name, God made Him a sweet smelling savor to us. We open this blessed book. I seen Henry one time. He was preaching on that and he said, boy, you open that book and you start preaching Christ. Oh, you smell that sweet fragrance. You smell that sweet savor. And oh boy, when we hear the gospel, it's such a sweet taste to us, ain't it? You know, it said it tastes like honey, and it tastes, I forget what the other taste was, like a wafer. Oh my, you talking about Christ being honey. Oh, He's sweet to the taste. Oh, how sweet He is to the taste. And then look at Aaron's rod that budded. I want to look at Aaron's rod that budded. Now, I'll tell you what we need to do is go to Numbers 17 for us to understand this. Numbers 17. To understand what it is about Aaron's rod that budded. Now, I'll tell you. And you read Numbers 17, and you know, we read the whole thing. And in Numbers 16, there was a revolt. They had a rebellion. There was a rebellion against Moses and against Aaron. And a bunch of Levites who were to carry and minister, carry the things around from one place to the next, they decided to take upon themselves that they had as much authority and as much power and much right to enter into the tabernacle as Moses or Aaron did. Well, God made, He said, I'm going to show you who is who. And Dathan and Korah and Abiram and all of them, God opened up, as Barner said, He opened up and sent them to hell without giving them a chance to pack their suitcase. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and their whole families. And the rest of them, He burned up with fire. And here they are, they again, they're trying to see who in the world's got the authority. Who's got the authority? And Aaron's rod that budded. Now in verse 7, chapter 17, here's the first thing. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and take every one of them a rod, a stick, according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes, according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod. Write Reuben, write Judah, write Zebulun, write Naphtali, write Gad. Write the names up there. Write Joseph, write their names on there. Every man write his name on that rod. And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi, the tribe of Levi. Write Aaron's name on that one. And one rod shall be for the house of their fathers. Lay them up in the tabernacle before the congregation, before the testimony where I'll meet with you. And I tell you what, this revolt caused jealousy. And they did this against two, God's two blessed people, Moses and Aaron. and these robes, and they put their names on them, and they laid up these rods. And look what he said in verse 5. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod, whom I shall choose, it's like the tabernacle shows us that God alone is the one to set the pattern. God alone chose the pattern. God alone told everybody what to do. God said, I'll meet you there on the mercy seat, showing us the salvations of the Lord. And he said, the rod whom I shall choose shall blossom. I'm going to cause a stick about that long and fit in that ark. I'm going to cause a stick to bloom. Cause it to blossom. And not only blossom, but watch what he says. And I'll make to cease from the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And he told them all to do what they said. Verse 7, Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of the wilderness. And it came to pass on the morrow, Moses went into the tabernacle of witness. And listen to this now. Behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded. Brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms. It had almonds on it. And the Lord said unto Moses in verse 10, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels. We're going to know who God chose. We're going to know that. And thou shalt quite take away their murmurs from me, that they die not. And so here they told them, they wrote all these names on these rods, and they laid them up. They laid them up in the tabernacle. They all went in there, and there's all laying in line. When they went in there, there was 12 of them. But there was only one had a miracle rod on it. Only one had supernatural power on it. Only one had a miracle rod on it. Only one that was dead was brought to life. Only one that rod could do nothing for itself. Nothing. Like me and you. Dead. Couldn't do nothing. And I tell you what, and this is, it gives us lots of typical meaning. The whole question of the ministry and the priestly ministry and who had the right to exercise that ministry was taken completely out of man's hands and was shown by God alone. I'll put in the ministry who I want in the ministry. I'll let you know who the life has got, who the one that I'm using and whom I won't use. And so I tell you what, and that's just like everything else. Everything we got have been is by God alone. God alone decides who's going to be saved. God alone decided who His Savior would be. God alone decided how He'd save a sinner. God alone gave His blessed word. It's not God and us, it's not a cooperated effort. Oh, if you'll just let God. Oh, did that stick let God do something for it? Oh, that stick let God do something for it. Oh my, these rods were lifeless things. Lifeless like anybody outside of Christ, lifeless. But with omnipotence, when Almighty God, when God in His sovereignty comes in power, comes in might, comes in glory, life's got to come. And this old dead stick, it's just something He walked with. And oh my, and I tell you, this lifeless rod had a miracle and resurrection life appeared. And I tell you, beloved, Moses and Aaron were typical of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in number 16, it showed their rebellion against Him, against Moses and against Aaron. And that showed all mankind rebellion against God and His one, His blessed Son. His blessed Son. And I tell you what, it's not something we have to guess about. Oh no, I mean, you know, was there a time that you were against Christ? Was there a time when you didn't know Christ, when there was a time that you didn't know you didn't have life? Dead men don't know that they don't have life. This stick didn't know it didn't have life. And when they rebelled against God, and it's the whole mankind rebelled against God. And all the members of the human race rebelled against God. One fellow said years ago, he's done gone. He said, I've been a believer. I believe the Bible all my life. Been a believer all my life. I say, well, if you've been a believer all your life, you've been a believer way too long. Huh? You've been a believer way too long. I'm going to tell you this. Without God doing something for you, you won't even believe the Bible. You'll believe the parts that you like. You'll believe the parts that suit you. You'll believe John 3:16 and believe that and believe everybody in the whole world. You'll believe that God loves everybody and He has good intentions for everybody. You'll believe that all you got to do is open your heart and let Jesus come in. That's what I mean. Unless God does something for you and gives you life, you won't even believe the Bible. Mm-hmm. You won't. You'll believe the parts you like about it. It's like a fella, you know, going to seminary, and a guy there, God taught him the gospel. He started reading the scriptures, and he started said, well, listen, read Romans 9 with me. He said, I ain't going to do it, because if I do, I'll believe like you do. Don't want to do that. You know. Yeah, I tell you, this, you know, you open this book, and you see that God alone makes the choices of everything. God was the first one to speak in the Bible. God said, let there be. And there was. Yeah. He said, I want a tree. And a tree sprouted. He didn't go plant a tree. He said, let there be trees. And trees was there. Let there be light. And there was light. And when God said, you're going to have life, bless His holy name, you're going to have life. You're dead as a stick. And when God speaks, you start sprouting fruit. Ain't that right? Oh, and I tell you what, men rebelled against God. They rebelled against God's appointed one, His blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they still against Him. They still against Him. Oh, yes. They're still against Him. Moses was God's prophet. And Moses proclaimed the truth. He, you know, Moses was God's spokesman. And God said, you go tell them what I said. And he would say just exactly what God said. Always spoke the truth. Aaron, the high priest, he expressed the grace of God. This is how you can approach me. By this blood, by this shedding of blood, by these sacrifices. He expressed the grace of God and the mercies of God. And both of these men were hated without a cause. Like our Lord Jesus Christ said, they hated me without a cause. Is there a cause? You know, I read this morning, he said, for this cause came I into the world. And then he turned around and said, they hated me without a cause. Is there a cause? Anything in Christ, anything in our blessed Savior that would cause somebody to hate Him? Not if they knew Him. No. And I tell you, in our Lord Jesus, the Scripture said, who was full of grace, grace to redeem man, grace to reveal God, grace to save man, and truth to come down and reveal God and tell us about God. He was despised. He was rejected of men. And they put Him to a horrible, horrible, shameful death. But what did God do? You know what he did? Oh, they crucified him. He was dead. He was dead. They took him down off the cross. That lifeless body. Wrapped it up. Put it in the tomb. Put a stone over it. Got over there early one Sunday morning. They went and Mary went over there. And there's two angels sitting there. Said, "Who are you looking for?" "Jesus." "Well, he's not here." "Mm-mm. Where's he at?" "Well, he's risen." "He's risen." Well, she went and told Simon, Peter, and John, and they come running down there, and Peter looked down. He just looked in. But John got on his hands and knees, and he went in there. And every one of them come back and said, "He's not there." That's like Aaron's rod did but him. Out of death came this glorious fruit. And here we sit. Here we set the fruit of the death of the resurrection, the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. God said, I'm going to show you who I chose. I'm going to show you that you rejected him, you despised him, you crucified him, but I want you to know this. That's my anointed one. That's the one that's got the fruit. That's the one that's got the power. That's the one that's got the right. That's the one that's got the glory. That's the one that's got the might. That's the Savior. That's the Mediator. That's the one who can only do something for you. Oh, bless His holy name. And I tell you what, He raised Him from the dead. And I'll tell you something. He was seen of many brethren and at one time above 500 men. 500 men after that. And I'll tell you what. And Moses entered the tabernacle the next morning. And boy, when he looked there, could you imagine how Moses felt? He went in there and he saw all those sticks. And there's one of them that was alive. One of them sticks was alive. And not only was it alive, but it had blooms on it. Had buds on it. You know, that thing bloomed from top to bottom. Had buds on it. You know, trees come out in the spring, they have buds on them. Then they have blooms on them. And then they have fruit on them. He said, this had buds, then it had blossoms, and then it had almonds. Started down here, there's buds. Come on up here more. Then it blossomed out. And they could beat almonds off of that. I'm telling you, that shows you when he walked in there and saw that. He said, "Boy," I said, "wait till I take these out there and show it to that bunch of rebels." You wait till God shows his blessed son to a bunch of rebels. When he says every knee gonna bow, every tongue's gonna confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's gonna find out who he is one of these days. And I'm telling you, and they entered that. Moses entered that tabernacle and saw the evidence of God's resurrection power, supernatural power. And I tell you, that's just like when they entered into that tomb. And I tell you, this rod was laid up before the Lord. And that gives us a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ sitting at God's right hand. And all that was in that ark speaks of God's wondrous provision for His people in the Lord Jesus Christ. And look there in verse 10 of chapter number 17. Oh, this is what he said. I said to it, you know, I'll read it to you if you don't want to look. But he said here, "And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept." Keep it for a token against the rebels, the children. "And thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me." And listen to this. "That they die not." That they die not. Oh my. So God, that ministry of Aaron was to preserve God's people so that they die not. This is where the life was. This is the one that God said. He let everybody know. Moses and Aaron are my two men. Now look at this rod that shows you that you better pay attention to Aaron. And Aaron was the one that God chose to preserve God's people before him at that tabernacle through the sacrifices, through the offerings, through the incense, through the everything that happened in that tabernacle while they were passing through this wilderness. And what a picture of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a preserver. What a preserver. I believe every believer in this building, right now, no minute telling how many times in your life as a believer you said, Lord, please do not leave me to myself. Yeah. You know what? As long as He's on the throne and He's the one preserving you, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. But that's just something you know why we pray like that? Because we know ourselves. We're scared of ourselves. And I tell you, our Lord Jesus, our preserver, while we go through this wilderness, and our great high priest is in heaven sitting at the right hand of God. And there's constantly making intercession for us. And this rod was a token against the rebels to take away their murmuring from me that they die not. And when we think of this rod that budded, a picture of the living Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, I pray that it takes away our murmurings that we die not. Oh, help us not to murmur. That's one thing that I find so hard to understand. And I hope I'm not being too critical. I've been through a thing or two in my life, not much, not very much at all. But one thing, that if I am going to make any complaints, I'm going to complain to God. I'm not going to fill your ear or anybody else's ear with all that's wrong with me. Murmuring as a person who believes in the sovereignty of God and believes in Romans 8:28, all things work together for them that are called of God and loved of God and called according to His purpose. It's just so against everything that the Bible teaches. You know, we say we believe in grace and that God's will be done. And then murmur about everything that happens to us. God, help us not to do that. If you got anything to murmur about, something going on in your life that is not comfortable for you, there's nothing wrong with saying, listen, I pray for me, I gotta go through this, that, and the other thing. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying when you have troubles and great trials, and your heart feels heavy and you feel like you want to, tell the Lord about it. Tell the Lord about it. He's the only one going to be able to do anything about it anyway. Because when you ask somebody to pray for you, that's what you're saying. You ask God to do for me. Well, He'll hear you just like He does anybody else. Don't He? Oh, here's God's provision for us. I'll tell you what, manna, food to strengthen us and keep us, and a priestly grace to sustain us. And when it says that Aaron's rod did budded, that was a prophecy of the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ in several ways. Let me give you a couple of them. His priesthood, our Lord Jesus Christ, as Aaron's rod budded, showed that all life was in Him. He had the authority. He was the high priest, and God proved it. God proved it. Just His rod budded, had life. But our Lord Jesus Christ's priesthood was not like Aaron's. Aaron was subject to death. Every high priest eventually died. And a son took over, and then he died. And then a son took over, and he died. But our Lord Jesus Christ, He's a high priest forever. He's a high priest forever. And oh, and the Son of God should come here and bring the throne of God down from heaven. And that God gave Him omnipotent power and grace to offer Himself in a sacrificial death, and that He might rise again. And from heaven sitting at God's right hand, right now, right this instant, right this moment, He sits at the throne of God, at God's right hand. And as our high priest, He's right there in God's presence for us. What has He got? He's got grace. Just keeps on coming. He said grace for grace. You know what that means? When you get grace, here comes some more. Get grace. Here comes some more. Here comes some more. Here comes some more. And he said that right, God's right hand. Aaron's rod budded. Our rod has life. Our Lord Jesus Christ has life. Ah, bless his name. No one like him. No one like him. Oh. I wish he was here right now. I'd just put my arms around him and hug him. Oh, I'd hug him. And I believe he'd hug me back. I believe he'd hug me back. Oh, if he was here, I'd just, oh. It's like sometimes you see somebody you've seen a long, long time. You just hug them, and you know. I've squeezed preachers that I've seen a long time, and I'd squeeze them, and they say, oh, you hurt me, you hurt me. Ah, I wouldn't hurt Christ, and Christ wouldn't hurt me. But oh, wouldn't it be something to put your arms around him? And he'll put his arms around you. But he does us that way. He does us that way. He's doing us all that way right now. With his glorious, wondrous presence, we thank him and praise him for it. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, we bless you. We praise you. We lift up our hearts to you in thanksgiving. Oh, Father, we thank you. Oh, how we praise you. And I do pray for Bob, Rebecca, Luke, Carrie, the grandchildren, that congregation, Gabe and the congregation there. God bless them. Lord, have mercy. Either raise Bob up or take him home. Whichever one pleases you and brings the most glory to you. We pray for him in that way. Amen. Father, bless these dear saints of God as they get up and go their ways. Protect them and keep them and preserve them. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing number 51 in the hymn book. Number 51. Let's stand together. You know, I tell you, to feel the presence of Christ. What a blessed thing it is. 51. Yeah.